This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We're going right to the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer hotline. I'm excited to visit with one of the most productive quarterbacks, really, in SEC history, the most productive quarterback in Texas A&M football history, Kellen Mond, at the Kellen Mond via Twitter. He joins us now. Kellen, I'm going to start with this. Your last head football coach in college. How many times, whether you were watching film on the practice field, I can imagine during a game it ramps up even more, did you have to ask Jimbo Fisher to go back and repeat what he said because he was speaking so fast you weren't able to absorb everything that he actually said to you?
I think I got pretty used to that my first year. So, I mean, I think it was pretty routine. And some people say I started to talk like him my senior year. So I'm not sure if that's a compliment or what, but I guess I got used to it.
Kellen, in regards to what are your favorite memories, I know there was a lot of them at College Station, but I know this last season was pretty special. Was there any particular time or moment from this previous season that really is going to stick out to you for the rest of your life as an Aggie?
I think there's a couple of them. You know, one being the Orange Bowl, just to kind of put a cap on an amazing season and just kind of reflect and look back on my whole entire growth, you know, throughout that off season and just my personal reflection on and off the field, and just truly just seeing my growth and being able to kind of look back on that, I thought it was truly special. And then I think, you know, that Florida game was definitely kind of a huge mark for us as an offense, but also as a whole entire team to kind of kickstart our momentum. And, you know, we've been in a bunch of close games and big time games in the past, you know, Clemson 2 years ago, Georgia last year, and, you know, we weren't able to get over that hump. So, you know, sometimes it takes some of those games to kind of get that culture and get that confidence rolling. And, so, I mean, that was definitely a huge game for us.
Kellen, we hear the term a quarterback whisper associated with college football coaches. Jimbo Fisher, certainly one of those guys. Just describe your relationship with Jimbo and maybe your maturation process, how much better you got in the areas you got better under his guidance since getting to College Station.
I mean, I think with Jimbo, it's just from the way he coaches quarterbacks and, you know, even just sometimes with other positions, but, you know, he's constantly hard on you and he wants you to, you know, master reads, so, you know, be pretty much the coach of the whole entire offense, and not just with reads, but, you know, you control everything at the line of scrimmage and, you know, understanding the play clock, understanding, down and distance, understanding the red zone. So pretty much understanding every situation of football. And, you know, so that was something that I constantly learned from Jimbo. And so, a lot of the physical stuff, you know, you go to the NFL, you look at college, you know, most quarterbacks can, you know, throw some of the most basic routes and, you know, pose and all these different things. But, you know, I definitely think my game went to a whole nother level whenever I, started to master kind of the mental state of, you know, that QB whisper kind of talk. So, that was something that I just worked on and, you know, I kind of studied, you know, wholeheartedly throughout the off season, and, definitely give him a lot of credit and, you know, my hard work and maturation, a lot of credit for the success we were able to have throughout the season.
I want you to just try to explain to our listeners what part of that is different with Jimbo. Now, you have played for multiple coaches and in multiple systems, but I was really surprised 2 years ago. I came out and did the spring game with you guys. We talked to you and we talked to Jimbo, and mm-hmm. You continue to hear everybody say, well, we got to dumb it down. We got to scale it back. We got to cut this out. And then we sit down with Jimbo and he's like, hell no, we're adding. And he pulls out this giant 3-ring binder, like two phone books, and he drops it on the table. He goes, this is our playbook. I'm sitting there thinking, okay. I know you talk to other quarterbacks. I know you have relationships with them. You've been in another system. You hear about other systems. Just try to describe to our listeners what is different and why is Jimbo's so much more than maybe so many others are.
I would say it's more NFL style playbook, and also just from the mental state, you know, the quarterback basically controls everything at the line of scrimmage and, you know, from my calls to run game checks and everything. So it definitely is, I think, a lot harder system than, you know, most schools. And, you know, even going down to the Senior Bowl and seeing a lot of guys struggle with certain terminology and, you know, certain run plays and understanding checks and, you know, kills like that, it was, you know, honestly pretty easy for me It was just some small words that kind of changed, but, you know, the principles were pretty much the same for everything. And so, but, you know, there was definitely, you know, from receivers to running backs who, it kind of took them a couple of days to kind of understand what exactly what was going on. And, you know, I went up there and I studied the playbook, you know, the first hour, first 2 hours of the first night. And, you know, I got it down pretty well. So, I mean, it was definitely a huge difference. Sometimes it's hard to explain unless you're, you know, in it. So, I think just from my mind state, you know, you see, you know, you go to A&M, you know, for Jamon Osmond example, you know, he can tell, you know, anybody, you know, quarterback reads depending on coverage. So, that just, not just quarterbacks are smart. It takes, you know, receivers to be super smart and running backs. So, it definitely takes the whole entire offense to be able to succeed, and we're able to do that this year.
Kellen, I want to take you back to Selection Sunday of the College Football Playoff, because you guys put together a well of a resume. How disappointing was it when Texas A&M was not called as one of the Final Four teams?
It was definitely disappointing, and, you know, I honestly think that was the first time that I can remember. I'm not sure if it's my whole life, but the first time I actually had, like, anxiety just sitting there watching. And, you know, I think just from the game we played the day before, and, you know, watching, you know, Ohio State struggle against Northwestern, and then watching Clemson and Notre Dame, you know, I thought it was, like, I didn't think it was necessarily going to be, if we got in, I thought it was going to be, you know, is Clemson or Ohio State going to get in. So that was my mindset, and, you know, we knew going into that Tennessee game that we were going to have to dominate and, you know, not necessarily put up a whole bunch of points, but just show that we're a dominant team and we can play against the top teams in the country. And, you know, you look back and our only loss was against Alabama, you know, 3 months before that, with a healthy Jalen Waddle that, you know, most teams didn't even play. So, but I mean, like I said, you can only control what you can control. And, you know, we are able to go out, with a huge bang in the Orange Bowl.
Kellen, obviously you had an impressive Senior Bowl there in Mobile. What have you heard from NFL teams post-Senior Bowl, and how much do you think being there, participating in that game, helped your stock as the NFL draft approaches?
You know, I've heard a lot of good things. You know, obviously still things that I need to work on, and, you know, things that I even, you know, recognize throughout the game. But, you know, I feel like, you know, once I was able to kind of push the ball down the field and even get into rhythm, and, you know, at the same time, these aren't even receivers that I've worked out with. You know, you work out with them 2-3 times, and then, you know, you're already on the field with them. So I'm still kind of mastering, you know, angles and, you know, certain timings with different plays. But, you know, I've heard a lot of great feedback, and, you know, I definitely think that helped my draft stock a bunch. And, you know, I think a lot of people are definitely going to be surprised.
All right, peel back the curtain. I mentioned that you are leaving College Station as the most productive quarterback in Texas A&M football history. We know the other guys and where they've been drafted, other awards and accolades they've taken home. Sort of paint the picture for what's next in College Station at that position.
I mean, I just kind of look back at, you know, one, we're kind of where I came from and the whole entire culture that, you know, obviously it was a whole team effort, but, you know, something I had a huge part of, just kind of switching that whole entire culture and just kind of leaving the place better than where when I got there. So, I mean, I think the culture is definitely in great hands. And, you know, I think, you know, not just players, but also coaches and everyone around that building, they, you know, they all kind of learn different things throughout that whole entire year and understand, you know, what it takes to be successful. So, I think that was just a huge growth year for everybody, kind of going through quarantine, being able to kind of self-evaluate yourself and understand what you need to do to get better. And that was from, you know, coaches, you know, nutritionists, everyone in the whole entire building, and even players. So I think, you know, a lot of people learned some about themselves and understood what it takes to get to that next level. And that's something that Coach Fisher was, you know, preaching and trying to put in our head. And, you know, we're able to, you know, have a huge season. So, you know, I definitely think the culture and, you know, the players, they should be able to kind of use that momentum that we ended with this past season and, you know, let it snowball and, you know, be one of the top teams in the country.
All right, well, you're out of the umbrella of Brad and Jimbo, and the coach speak doesn't necessarily have to live here anymore. We've moved on. So I'll just be a little more direct. Is Haynes King going to be the dude? Is he that guy next up in an Aggie uniform?
I mean, I don't know. You know, both Zach Calzada and Haynes King are both talented, and I think, you know, you know, like I said before, it doesn't really matter. Oh, obviously it still matters, but the physical tools are always important. But to play for Jimbo and actually to succeed with Jimbo, it's, you know, all about the mental. So I think it's going to be who can kind of win over that team and be a leader, and, you know, pretty much be able to win over that team and win over Coach Fisher and earn his trust. And, you know, I kind of look back and, you know, the reason I don't really say, you know, who's going to be the winner, because I truly don't know. And, you know, 3 years ago, everyone said Nick Starkle was going to be the starter. So, you know, I kind of look back at that. And so you don't want to predetermine anything because, you know, really nobody knows.
I know you're getting ready for pro day. You're getting ready for the NFL draft. But just you personally, what do you like to do to unwind? What do you like to do when you're not playing football?
I mean, down here, I've been pretty busy, but, you know, just really trying to relax and just, you know, just really get my body back and, you know, get my mind back. So, you know, at times I do read, but I do watch a lot of film and I watch a lot of highlights. So just kind of understanding what parts of my game that I need to grow in. And, you know, I kind of pick from different players and, just kind of pick their brain and also just kind of watch their film and see how they're able to execute. So, I mean, I'm truly a learner of the game, and, you know, I understand that I'm nowhere near perfect.
All right, Kellen, you referenced the Alabama loss, the only loss, the only blemish on the record, and it was early in the season there at Bryant-Denny Stadium. If you guys had gotten the rematch with Alabama, and you're a Vegas line setter, where would you have set that line for that rematch?
I mean, I don't necessarily know the line, and, you know, I'm confident in my team, I'm confident in myself, and I think – you know, kind of looking back at that game, you can still learn a lot from, you know, one, what Alabama did, and, you know, also kind of understand, you know, what adjustments that Alabama was going to make based on, you know, where we were able to have success and where we didn't. So, you know, one thing, you know, I know Jalen Waddle, he wasn't as healthy as he was earlier in the year. So, you know, obviously Devontae Smith did a great job of, you know, carrying a load of that. But, you know, I think it could have been different, but, you know, they're truly a great team, and, you know, obviously Nick Saban does a great job with them, and, you know, even some of their sports performance guys who, you know, were at IMG with me, and so I know what type of culture that they're continuing to build, and, you know, they definitely deserve a lot of respect.
All right, before you run, I think our listeners have learned fairly quickly that you're a pretty humble young man. You obviously have a great head on your shoulders. You understand how to handle yourself. I got to know what was going through your mind on January 11th. When you did decide to clap back on Twitter at Ari Wasserman multiple times based on some of the trash that he had put out about your team and your team's season.
Oh.
Was it a hard decision, or had you kind of been waiting on that one?
Nah.
Did you have that in the drafts and you're just kind of like hoping that you were able to send that one out?
So was that before? Because I think I did a couple of him. I don't remember.
No, yeah,
exactly.
There's a few. I went back and found him.
Nah, it wasn't in the draft. I think it was just something that was on my mind. And, you know, like I said, I think it was kind of pertaining to that draft and not the draft, the playoffs. But, you know, like I said before, you know, I think just all SEC schedule and, you know, a lot of people kind of discredit the SEC because they say, you know, certain teams had certain losses and all that. But, you know, you look at Ohio State, a team who only played six games and struggled in some of those games. And, you know, you look at Texas A&M, you know, playing some of the top teams. And I still even think Florida was the top team. But, you know, I don't think if they wouldn't have lost to us, they probably would have continued to play even better. But, you know, some of those wins are definitely culture changing. And, but, you know, that definitely wasn't in my drafts. I think I was just speaking my mind.
I enjoyed
Kellen,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate you joining us. Obviously, you've got a bright future. Best of luck in the NFL. No, you're going to do great. We appreciate you joining us.
Appreciate y'all.
Kellen Mond, Texas A&M quarterback. Very impressive. Joining us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, and only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple.
This is Three Man Front.